T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call your sons, call your daughters, call your friends, call your neighbors. Mark Burley has a perfect game going to the night. Alexei! Yes! 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 History!
What job?
You gotta be kidding me! That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal!
Jammed him, ate him up. Tied. Long way to go. Watch out, he goes in.
I think he made the catch.
Made the catch. Did he hang on?
But he's hurt.
Yeah, he's hurt.
And this is a real, real bad sight.
Oh, boy.
When we find out...
I'm going downstairs, you take over, okay?
And the White Sox are the champions of the 2005 Central Division. Yes! Yes! Yes!
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. What a joy, what a delight to welcome in Hawk Harrelson, the Hall of Famer. Good morning, Hawk. How are you?
Congratulations, Hawk.
Thanks a lot, guys. Yeah, it was an interesting day yesterday, I'll tell you. It was something that, you know, that when I got the call, they were supposed to call, I think, around 11 o'clock, and then it got to be about 11:25, and I'm just saying, you know, well, Hawk, we got to wait longer. And then about 10 seconds later, the phone rang, and I picked up my phone, and I saw where it says Cooperstown, and I said, uh-oh. And they told me that I've been selected, and you know that was just—it's just a great honor. I mean, you know, I really had a brain cramp. I didn't know what to say. It's like my brain froze there, and the only I could say was thank you,
Hawk. I got to tell you, I'm watching the Bulls game last night, and at one point, Stacey King says, "Put it on the board, yes." When someone hit a jumper, and it's a tribute to you, obviously, and a reference. But I watch games and I hear your voice in my head because I've watched so many games with you over the years. And I can't tell you how delighted I am that you've made this, that this award is well-earned, and just delighted for you, for your family, for everybody that knows you. I think it's just great.
I know, Molly. It's, you know, you and David both good buddies of mine and have been for a long time. And I know there are a lot of people pulling for me, and that's, you know, the thing I really like about receiving this honor is for my family. First of all, it would never happen. It could never have happened without my beautiful Greek wife, Aristea. Aris has been my savior, my life, my love. And I'm happy for Krista, our beautiful daughter, and Casey, our handsome son, and our grandchildren, Nico, Alexander, and Hank, you know. That I'm able to, I thought that I would go in one day, but I thought it possibly would be after I was, you know, passed away.
Right.
And this way I get a chance to enjoy this with my family for a while.
Hawk, you know, ball players know when they're good and that they're gifted and when they have sort of an athletic ability that maybe is rare and allows them to be a professional athlete. But when you made that transition after your playing career into the broadcast booth, when did you get a sense that what you did, that you were good at this, and that you could make an impact and you could leave an impression?
Well, Kurt Gowdy and Howard Cosell both were instrumental in giving me some great advice, along with Gene Kirby, who was the head of Red Sox broadcasting. And Gene was the guy who used to work, you know, Dizzy Dean and Pee Wee Reese on the Falstaff Saturday Baseball. And they both told me the same thing at different times. There was an interval there of about 2 weeks. Kurt called me up and wanted to talk. He said, look, I'm going to tell you the best thing you'll ever hear about announcing is don't try to please everybody because you can't. And then 2 weeks later, Coach Howard Cosell called me. He said, I'm coming to Fenway. He said, I want to talk to you. And he said, it was weird. It was eerie because it was almost verbatim. He said, well, Jay, the best thing you ever learn about broadcasting, he said, don't try to please everybody because you can't. And, you know, there for years and years, Cosell, by Reader's Digest, was voted the most loved announcer in sports and also the most hated announcer in sports. But nobody was, you know, indifferent, so to speak. And I really took that to heart, and I made that my credo, that my mantra, so to speak, that, and especially in a two-team city, you're not going to please everybody, you know, when you've got the Sox fans and the Cub fans. You can't please. So why do something? Just do the math, you know. Why do something that you can't do? And you can't please everybody. And I did that for 42 years. I made that, as I said, every day. I'd go in that booth. I said, oh, hey, Hawk. Hawk's my buddy, you know, he's my alter ego, and we talk a lot, and they say it's very common. I talked to Dick Schwartz, who's one of the most famed psychologists in the world, really travels the world and gives seminars, writes books and everything, and he told me it's very common, that especially with athletes, that you have an alter ego, because the biggest killer in sports and the biggest killer over a microphone is pressure. You know, you got to find a way to take the pressure off. And I used to be in the on-deck circle, and yes, Strzemski would be at the plate, you know, and he would pop up or strike out, which he didn't do very often. But when he did, I'd say, all right, Hawk, let's get ready. Let's go up and take care of this thing. And it like lifted a load off my shoulders. And it put it, because Ted Williams told me, he says, when you step in that box a lot of times, that guy 60 feet, 6 inches away is going to be better than you are, and you got to understand that. And the way you can do that and kind of help yourself more is find a way to take the pressure off. And I did it with my alter ego, Hawk. So it was the same thing in the booth. Every day I walk in that booth, I say, all right, Hawk, let's get it done. And I did that, you know, for 42 years. And it worked out pretty good.
Hawk, how many times have you been to Cooperstown? When was the first time you went, and what will it mean to you to go back there?
Well, the first time we played in the game, I was with, I don't know if I was with Cleveland or Boston at the time. We went and played the game there, and then I went there for an appearance again several years later. And it's just an awesome shrine, so to speak. You know, if you walk through the hall and everything and you see the people that are in there, and it's just awesome. You know, it's like walking in Washington and going through some of the monuments there. That it's just awesome for our great country, you know, to see the history of it. And it's just a vehicle for prolonging and enhancing the history of the great game of baseball, because baseball to me is the best sport going. My favorite sport is hockey. I love to watch hockey. I'm a big, huge, huge, huge Blackhawk fan. And the reason I like hockey is because if you got a difference with somebody, you can get it settled right there, right on the ice. Do it now, you know. And baseball, when you walk through that thing and you see the people that are in there, and I know a lot of the guys who are in there, and I played against a lot of the guys who are in there, and I read about a lot of the guys who are in there. And it's just because baseball, there are no experts in the game. There are no experts in the game of baseball. And people say, well, you're an expert. And I tell them I'm not an expert because the game is so beautiful. Nobody knows the game of baseball to its extent, full extent. And it's just some people who've been around it longer. You know, I've been in this game almost 60 years. And come January 1st, 2020, that'll be a day that I really hope I get to see to see it January 1st, it'll put me in with four other guys, only that they can find. I don't research this stuff. And there's Vin Scully, Tommy Lasorda, Don Zimmer, and Dave Garcia. And then in January 1st, 2020, it'll be Ken Harrelson in there. There's only five guys who've been in professional baseball all parts of eight decades.
Wow. That's great.
That'll be a legacy for my grandchildren.
Hawk, never one to shy away from a confrontation. I'm sure that you've had your share over the years. As you reminisce as a broadcaster, and you look back at your career, what ones stand out? Any players that have approached you kind of off the air about things you said, or managers or executives? And how did you handle those situations?
Well, I got a reputation in baseball. I never charged the mound in my whole career, including the minor leagues. And I got a reputation that if I was upset with a pitcher who drilled me or whatever it may be, I wouldn't charge the mound. I'd wait till after the game was over, and then I'd go to his clubhouse and wait for him to come out, and we'd finish it right there. And I got that reputation. And so consequently, guys, you know, because of the sporting news, that was the player's Bible. And people started – so when I played 9 years in the big leagues, I only got hit six times because guys knew that I'd be waiting for them, you know, after the game. And so when you get that, I've really never had, except for one time, Thurman Munson, who I just loved as a player. I mean, he was just a great competitor. And I was broadcasting for the Red Sox, and we went in to play the Yankees, and you know that rivalry. It's like the Sox and the Cubs. So I had to go on a show, Mickey Mantle's Restaurant. Mickey asked me to go over there and do an interview before the game, and I did. And I was telling him we had Carlton Fisk. And I was telling the people that Carlton Fisk was a better player than Thurman Munson. So we went to the ballpark that night, and I walked out on the field, and the Yankees were taking batting practice, and Thurman was in the cage, and he looked around. He saw me. He said, Hawk, he said, I heard all that BS you were talking about today. And I said, Thurman, zip it. I don't need any of your BS, okay? So he started around, come out of the cage, and I went around to meet him, and all of a sudden Bobby Mercer and I think Felipe Lou jumped in and between us. And so Billy Martin was the manager, and after the game was over, I was in having a cocktail in the press room, and Billy comes up to me. He says, hey, what happened between you and Thurman? I said, Billy, I said, you know me, and I'll tell you one thing right now. You're in a pennant race, and if I'm going to go out there again tomorrow, if he comes around, then you're liable to lose a catcher for a week or 10 days. And Billy said, no, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it, because Billy loved me. He always tried to trade for me because we had the same kind of temperament. So I walked out there the next day, and I walked right up to the cage. I waited till Thurman got in there to hit, and he just looked at me and turned around, you know. So, but I had nothing but respect for Thurman Munson. He was a wonderful competitor, and I'll tell you what, you know, Reggie was a great player, but the two guys that you didn't want coming to the plate in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning in a tight ball game were Lou Piniella and Thurman Munson. Those guys would, you know, fess up, and they'd get the big base hit, but It was just something that my mom taught me, that to always be competitive. She said, son, she said, if somebody hits you, you hit them back harder. And if they hit you once, you hit them twice. And that's the way I grew up. I grew up with that mentality. And she said, don't let anybody out-compete you. And that's what I tell a lot of players today, well, hitters especially. I said, don't let that guy 60 feet, 6 inches away out-compete you. Now, if he hits his spots, you got to understand, you're probably going to go 0-for-4. Ted Williams taught me that. He said, you can never realize your potential unless you understand how to take an 0-for-4. And that's pretty profound. And but you can't let guys outcompete you. If you do, then you're a loser.
Hawk, you know, I've heard so many great tributes to you, and we had Ozzie Guillen on earlier, and he talked about how you would say things like, you know, number 13 is not going to like that. A.J. Pierzynski was on the station yesterday and said that the players always knew that you were on the player's side. I think that is a great tribute to you, too, because it's very hard to be a broadcaster in any town and not anger the teams. And as Ozzie mentioned, you know, you had some bad years. I'm talking about the teams that you were covering were not very good, and you never turned on any of them, and that is really a tribute, and you never got bored watching the White Sox play. So your passion, everything we've heard from you, TW, all of it, Hawk, just congratulations. We're delighted for you.
Thanks, Hawk, and congratulations.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, David.
That is Hawk Harrelson, the new Hall of Famer, freshly minted, and what a delight to talk to Hawk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.